Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast and happy Tuesday. Hope everyone's... Oh, happy Election Day. It is the 8th of November, therefore it is Election Day. Hope everyone's having a great Election Day. It's a great day to be an American.
It is. I hope everyone is taking the time to vote, whether before work, after work, during work. You are entitled to time to vote during your job today. So make sure that you do your civic duty and cast that vote.
Duty. I knew
you were going to say that.
Because one thing about me is like, I am a four-year-old, you know?
For sure. And here's the thing. Like, I don't want to get political so early this morning, but I feel like I need to take a stand and say that I'm voting for Bryce for governor. And I know you're voting for Streis.
I am. And, you know, that's the thing about The Toast is like, we don't let politics come between us. You know, everyone is welcome here at this show, whether you voted for Bryce or Streis.
It's so true. So...
Hot take, though. Hot take.
I know. Whew. I know. People aren't going to like that, but I said what I said. And I felt like I had to, you know, I had to get that off
my chest. It was your civic duty.
It was my duty.
So we're coming off of a great episode yesterday, except for the astigmatism. Should we talk about the astigmatism?
Yeah. So weird yesterday. I mean, I had to rearrange my studio because we went from 2 to 1. And I can't see. I see my monitor from where I'm sitting, but I was too far away to realize that it was out of focus. So it was out of focus the whole time, which is so sad because I looked so stunning. I gave my heart and soul to the episode. I was wearing Claudia's necklace that she got me. And none of it was seen, really. So I'm sorry.
No, you know what's tough about doing what we do in such an authentic, honest, real, unfiltered, unedited, raw way is like we do this show and like we really, we don't re-record stuff, like we don't edit stuff. So we sit here and we talk for an hour and if, you know, every now and then we'll realize like, oh, we didn't press record on this mic. And it's like that moment is gone and we can't recreate it, you know?
At least I had something and we were able to do a video, but I'm sure it was kind of painful to watch, except if you have an astigmatism and then like you took out your contacts, maybe it was actually on balance for you because one was blurry and one wasn't.
That's what we do here at The Toast. We try and make this show accessible for everyone, even those with astigmatisms.
It's true. But this morning, Zach double-checked my camera. I think I'm in focus. I tinkered around a little bit and I would just feel so upset if not everyone could see my gorgeous outfit today, which is a little redheads merch, always repping the redheads.
I want to be honest because I feel like honesty is a core value of our show. And I really, like, I was not really mad that your video was all fucked because that meant, like, more eyes were probably just, like, staring at me the whole time. And I happened to have looked particularly stunning yesterday. So if your camera isn't fixed again today, like, I think I'll be okay.
Well, you know, I do it for you. Everything I do with you in mind.
I know. And it's like, I think on some subconscious level, you were really just like letting me have a moment yesterday.
Letting you shine.
And that's why you're...
There was a lot of talk about me, my birthday. How's Jackie? How's 30? But like, what about Claudia? Nobody ever asks yesterday, how's Claudia?
Thank you. Really, truly. Thank you.
So how is Claudia?
She's doing great. You know, I'm feeling excited. You know, there's something about... I've weirdly been like looking forward to Election Day. I feel like the last couple of election days, like I've had a lot of anxiety, but I don't know. There's something exciting about just like, you know, like everyone watching the same thing tonight. Do you know what I mean?
I know. And I don't really have plans for this, but an election night chili is a really great thing to do. Let me explain. I've done it before. So all day you're prepping the chili as, you know, the votes are coming in, the chili is stewing. And by the time news is coming in, like, you sit down with your chili and you enjoy.
No, that's a really kind of beautiful and poetic way of looking at a great day in our nation.
Claude, elections are like chili. You put a lot of stuff in and you get your results.
I like that.
I think that was Thoreau who said that.
I actually think it was Walt Whitman.
They're the same person to me. So,
okay, I'm so glad you brought that up. Ralph Waldo Emerson, Walt Whitman,
Justin Thoreau.
All the same. Oh, and Justin Trudeau. Like, yeah. All the same people to me.
What is Thoreau's first name? And actually, I do think that all of these boys are from, like, the same period.
I feel like I learned about them all on the same day in English class, and that's why, like, they're all the same in my mind. Ralph Waldo Emerson, Walt Whitman, Thoreau.
Henry David Thoreau. See, he's just, like, a one-name wonder to me.
100%. The branding. It's like a Madonna.
And they were all at Walden, the lakes where all the poets went to die. I actually think this is who Taylor was talking about. I'm not even lying.
No.
These are the Walden boys. Yet people also search for Ralph Waldo Emerson, Walt Whitman, Cynthia Dunbar, Nathaniel Hawthorne. If you're a redhead, that name will mean a lot to you this month.
I don't know Cynthia. Cynthia,
like, not to belittle her, but she's probably someone's wife.
Jackie.
She is the mother of Henry David Thoreau, so.
Okay. It is that time of year where, like, you know, I start to become, like, a male chauvinist because it's holiday season, the Hallmark movies come out, and as I always say, I am a card-carrying feminist most of the time. But when those holiday movies come out, you know, women, the kitchen. Men, the office.
Men, the lumberjack tree. We need wood for this 100%. Fire. And the women aren't getting it.
This fire isn't going to burn itself.
No, this tree isn't going to chop itself.
No. And you know what? These cookies aren't going to bake themselves either. So I'll just see myself to the kitchen.
Yeah, definitely. I actually think I'm going to do some baking today. Some election day baking because I've got some bananas that are ripe for muffins.
Well, we also have just, like, a fabulous show today because, like, weirdly, there's a lot of news today.
And
I love the beginning of the week.
Your relevant girly watched My Mind and Me and The Culpos.
Great. We have a story about The Culpos.
That will lead into our TV recap.
Oh, okay. So why don't you tell me about Your Mind and You?
I'll tell you about it. One, I agree with everything that was said yesterday, but I had some additional thoughts. First of all, this came to me at the end when the documentary ends with her young self saying, "I am Selena." And it made me realize that the title of the documentary is not good. It's not My Mind and Me. I feel like we didn't get a look inside her mind. We got a look inside her life. I feel the ways that she referred to her mind and what she thinks and feels, like, we're kind of vague. I don't feel like we got a really good look at the mind of Selena, but I feel like we got a good look at the life of Selena. So I would say they should have called it I Am Selena. Alternate title. Gotta keep an eye out for Selena.
That was going to be my next suggestion, of course.
Right, if they wanted to be culturally relevant. The other thing, there were so many things, but the other thing is that this period that they're showing us is obviously a really hard time for Selena. She's coming back into the spotlight. She's struggling with trying to maintain her sanity and doing the job that she needs to do that affords her all of the privileges to do the things that she wants to do. Mm-hmm. But I'm so curious, one, how COVID changed her. Like, was COVID and staying home good for her? Because I feel like for a lot of celebrities, like Ari, I feel like it was the best thing that could have happened. Like, you have to stay home. No one's coming to see your shows. You need to take a break. And I wonder how that was for her. To a point, I think, like everyone else, you know, we had our break and then it became dark being so isolated, especially if you're someone who struggles with mental health issues. Like, it was a net negative for most people. But I just was curious, and they showed us some COVID stuff. So I was just curious if, like, if she was able to, like, reconnect with herself, like, love her house again, love her life, and just, you know, maybe cook, and how was that for her?
That's interesting.
Then after COVID, her business really changed. She did Rare Beauty, Only Murders in the Building, and there's one of, Selena and Chef. And so these are very different than her being, like, an album artist tour.
Pop star.
Tour, bus, another bus, tour. And
no sleep.
how has this stage of her career affected her mental health? Is this so much better for her working on Rare Beauty where she doesn't need to be public facing as much? You know, the money comes in without her having to do all of these radio interviews. And I'm just curious, like, promo. Where she's at now. I feel like
that's a really good point. I feel like in a way the documentary is almost a little dated.
Yeah. And it ends so abruptly. And her whole career has changed now. And I also wonder, like, what is her passion? When she was working at 7 years old and she was doing Barney, it sounded like she was loving acting. And somewhere along the way, like, that went south. I wonder if it was, you know, the
Disney
environment at Disney. And then my next question is, what happened at Disney that she feels like she can't even dress like it a little witchy because people think of her as a witch? I'm like, I forgot Alex Russo is a Wizard of Waverly Place. She's just like a Disney kid. But that's how deep it runs for her. So I'm like, what? I'm thinking, what happened there? But what I know her passion is philanthropy. And I know that she feels her best when she's helping other people and is able to not feel like she's taking and she's giving. But as far as like the craft, what is her passion? Does she love writing music? Does she love acting? Does she love doing Only Murders in the Building? Like, does she feel like she likes writing music but doesn't like performing it? Should she be a songwriter? I just felt like, what about this trade, which at one point you loved, do you still feel like is a huge part of you and you don't want to give up? Or do you hate it all?
That's a really good question, honestly. I feel like she definitely loves acting.
Yeah, because she chose to do Only Murders in the Building. She's not doing music right now. So tell us that. And so that we can be happy that, and you know, she is kind of a serious actress. She's done Woody Allen. A lot of the serious people that she's worked with really love her. And even for Steve Martin and Martin Short to have chosen her is such an honor. And she is so deserving. And does she love that? I'm curious.
No, that's actually so true. I feel like at this rate, she'll be a more respected actress than musician because honestly, she hasn't. There's a song, My Mind and Me, and she released Rare, but like she doesn't have a huge discography because she really doesn't do that much music.
So is that what she wants to be doing? Are things going better now because she's not doing music? LMK?
No, that's a really good question. Did you?
And then also just, it's like she doesn't like doing the radio interviews. And I totally understood. Like some of those questions were so dumb. But then on the flip side, it's like you sit down and they're asking you the deepest questions. And it's like, I don't fucking know you. I'm not going to give you like my heart and soul for a couple clicks.
So 100%. It's
like, why can't we just have a normal conversation?
I wanted to clarify one thing because a lot of people were like having conversations after our episode yesterday about the Raquel of it all. So Raquel is listed as a producer on the documentary, therefore meaning she probably like made money off of it. And I don't know if she's like salaried by Selena, but she definitely has, you know, some sort of financial benefit from being her friend. So that's important to know. But I was curious what your thoughts are or were on the Raquel of it all.
I thought Raquel was a great friend. I can see how, you know, they obviously there's conflict between them, but they spend 24/7 together. And that's another thing that's so unnatural. It's like Selena's laying in her bed, like clearly depressed. And there's all these other people around the room with her. The cameras are there because we're watching it. And it's like, leave her alone. Like having I understand she wants to do this documentary because she feels like it's her way to help people see that they're not alone. But like, it's too much for her. Like when she's in bed, just like, can't turn her brain off. Like, it's not helpful to have cameras in her face. And who knows, there's probably a boom mic. There's a million things. There's a million people. And like, don't do this like in service for us when you need help too. And I feel like a lot of the message of her documentary is like, I really want to help people. And I think in a lot of ways, the documentary will help people see that even the people that we love so much are struggling. People are like, she's just like us. And sadly, and maybe she has them now, but this ended in 2020 and she didn't then. But in the documentary, like there's really no tools for how to overcome a dark period. And I wish that there was more, not even optimism at the end of it, because I understand that like hard times come and it's hard
that's
to come out of it.
That's not how it always is.
And that's not how it always is. But like, it's not enough just to say like, I experienced this too, or like, you know, we should talk about mental health. Like we can't just be talking about mental health. We also need to be helping people and like giving them tools, giving them resources, showing them, you know, I was here once, but look where I am now. Like it gets better. I feel like we were talking about this 2 weeks ago. So many people are just like living in their sadness and feeling like it can't get better. And I'm watching Selena live her life and she's so unhappy. And I'm like, life is not supposed to be like that. And I understand that for more, some people are unhappier more times and some people are happier. Not everyone's the same, but on the whole, like, we should be able to find pockets of life that we enjoy. And mm-hmm. I think that a lot of the messaging that's out there for kids, like, needs to be reaffirming that over and over again. Like, life is wonderful. And yes, and heart, and, like, you know, your mind can play tricks on you. And sometimes it's not just situational and it's not just a bad period and you need help and you need people to talk to and perhaps even medication sometimes. But, like, it really, it should get better. And I felt like the documentary ended and I felt so, like, upset. This girl is just,
yeah.
you know, she has seemingly, quote unquote, like, everything.
The perfect life.
That
yeah.
a person could desire in order to live a happy life. And she's so unhappy. And it just made me really sad. And it made me sad for the people who might watch it and not see a way out of it.
And not have, there was no, like, takeaway.
No, and at the end, it's like, if you're feeling this way, like, call it 988. But it's, you know, what is 988 going to tell you to do? Let's put that in there too. And if Selena is doing better now, which I feel like she is because she's working. And
I feel like she is too.
Tell us how to get there.
She got there.
Or at least tell us how you got there.
Yeah, of course, because it's not the same for everyone. But no, I agree. Like, there was this overall sadness that I feel like I was left with at the end of the documentary and kind of unresolved. And I think you pointing out the fact that, like, it doesn't include the last 2 years, which I feel like from afar have been very good for her. It felt unfinished.
Yeah. So I thought Raquel was a great friend. Then I was looking at her Instagram and she wrote a book with Tanya Rad. Did you see that?
Yes. And she's also very close friends with Hailey Bieber.
Interesting. But it made me so glad because I was thinking, like, Tanya Rad is someone to me who, like, embodies sunshine.
Positivity.
And I'm like, okay, so if Tanya is friends with Raquel, that means Raquel, you know, has some of that positive energy, which we even saw in the thing when they're talking in Africa. She's like, what can we implement in your life? You're not supposed to feel this way.
Let's do this quarterly.
Yeah, she's like, you're not supposed to not want to go home. You're not supposed to not want to look at your phone. Like, what can we do and change in your life that will make you happier to live it? And I feel like that's exactly what someone should be doing to help lift Selena up. So it made me happy to see that she has that positivity that Tanya Rad has, because I feel like that's a great influence for Selena.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I think those are very
And one more point about her thoughts. Laying in the bed with the friends, which is unnatural, like, for a 30-year-old woman to be having sleepovers every single night with her friends. The thing about having friends who work for you or are going to be with you 24/7 is that means that they can't hold another job because they are with you 24/7. So they can't, you know, make their own money. So they are essentially, you know, and then inevitably living off of you. And
yes.
That makes it unhealthy, but it's hard. She needs friends around her. And so she can have friends who have jobs and aren't going to be there all the time. But it also creates this dynamic where it's like, people should be able to be alone. And then at the end of the day, we'll meet up with our friends, we'll have a good time. And then I go back to being, like, myself and in my life. So I feel like so many celebrities, like, live with their friends, sleep with their friends, and you create this dependency that's really hard to
break.
Like
a toxic dynamic.
Yeah.
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 No, that's a good point. A lot of celebrities, like, have these groups of friends, these posses that live with them, depend on them, spend 24/7 together. And it creates this very bizarre dynamic because it's not like it's not a natural thing to be, you know, 30, 40 years old and have a million people living in your house who are your friends.
Yeah. And it's like Selena will wake up and she's, you know, not in a good mood or she's feeling depressed or anxious. And then there's all these people in her bed who are like, want to do this, want to do that. And it's like, just let Selena, like, lay and figure out what she wants to do next without, you want to eat? You want to watch a movie? Like, go
it's
away.
It's so true.
Scram. So
true. But also, yeah, no, totally. But also,
and Selena,
I think,
will know that they're down the hall if she needs them.
Yeah, that's true. But being alone, and that's, I feel like, what Matthew Perry was saying, not that it's the same, but he's like, you'll know I'm in trouble if I really want to be alone. And of course, that has to do with addiction. But I think the same can be said about mental health. Like, if people... like, being alone is not always the best thing.
No. But if you're on, you need to be able to be alone.
Yes, of course. And, like, it's,
and
yeah.
I feel like she wasn't alone till COVID, really. But even then, like, we see her, she's, like, cleaning her house. She's doing, like, a workout from home. And she's, like,
productive.
She's doing well.
Yeah.
Because there's no one in bed doing everything for her.
For her. Yeah, that was a major takeaway for me, is, like, that, you know, her whole life is planned and she's very much coddled by the people in her life. And I think at first that was probably for her benefit. But now I think it's, you know, as she heals, it's to her detriment.
Yes, definitely. Which is why, again, I'm curious about COVID. And then to me, the most curious, interesting part that was not explored was what happened with We Charity. I'm going to need an episode of American Greed. That was plot twist.
No, that was so weird.
And I meant to Google it. I meant to Google it after. Like, what do you mean fraud? Like, what the fuck?
No, it was so random.
Like, she had these big dreams and they were crushed because there was like fraud. What?
No, it was very bizarre.
So would have loved to learn more about that.
Right. So overall, I feel like the documentary was meant for us, you know, to like take away certain things. And I took away a lot, but I don't think it was what the documentary intended for me to kind of digest.
Yes, I agree. But it was an interesting window into a fascinating girl. And I just stated that, you know, 2020 Selena is not in the same place as 2022 Selena. And I feel like given we know the external changes that have happened in her life, I feel like she isn't in that place anymore.
I don't think so either.
And I just wish like there were more tools for people who are still in that place to have like to be inspired.
Yeah, no, totally. It wasn't inspirational.
Yeah, no. So those are my
thoughts. We'll also talk about the Culpo show, which premiered last night. We have a story, and I feel like I'm ready.
Okay. Without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
Glug, 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 glug. Today's episode is sponsored by Bare Necessities. Think about the favorite bra you have right now. What's so great about it? Chances are it's not anything the bra actually does. It's more the things it doesn't do. It has weird gaps, shows through your shirt, digs through it into your shoulders. Same thing with underwear. You reach for the ones that don't ride up or don't give you a panty line. Your bra and underwear should make your outfit better, not worse. And that's what's so great about Bare Necessities, the biggest online intimate apparel retailer offering over 140 of the best brands all in one place. They put fit and comfort above all else, so they're all about size and inclusivity. Their band sizes go from 28 to 58, their cup sizes go from AA to O, and their regular sizes go from XS, extra small, to 5XL, 5 extra large. With so many options, finding the right bra isn't always intuitive, so they offer the Bra Finder Fit Quiz that points you in the right direction in just a few clicks. Bare Necessities also has a team of bra fit experts available on hand to help you find your perfect bra. So I've been wearing like the same brand of bra and undies forever, and it's so true. Like, they're not great. It's just like what you have.
Yeah.
So when you take the time to like find exactly what you need when it comes to bra and underwear, whether it comes to like band size, cup size, underwear, like I happen to like underwear that's like, you know, goes up a little higher. I feel like it holds me together more. But I also find that the ones that I used to wear leave like crazy lines on my pants and my leggings. So taking the time to actually find what you need out of a bra and undies is such an important thing. And I feel like that's the whole concept behind Bare Necessities. Like, it's so important. Like, let's actually take the time, figure out what your needs are, and Bare Necessities has the product for you. I also love that their sizing has such a wide range, because like we all have such different bodies, and even two people with similar bodies are going to need two totally different bra sizes. Right now, you can also get 20% off your Bare Necessities order when you go to barenecessities.com. Use code TOAST20. That's code TOAST20 at barenecessities.com to get 20% off. Barenecessities.com, code TOAST20. Some exclusions apply. Today's episode is also brought to you by Jackie's favorite, Babbel. If you're like us, there's a foreign language that you regret not learning in school, and it's never too late to start with Babbel, the language learning app that sold more than 10 million subscriptions thanks to Babbel's addictively fun and easy bite-sized language lessons. You can finally cross learning that new language off your list. So they offer 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German, whatever the reason is that you might want to start learning a new language. One, because it's just a fun way to broaden your horizons, expand your mind as an adult. Two, you know, you don't remember everything from high school French like Meghan Markle. Or, you know, are you taking a trip where you just want to learn like the basic language so that, you know, you don't get lost, or it can be kind of scary to be in a new country where you don't know the language. I did that before I went to Italy. With Babbel, you need only 10 minutes to complete a lesson, so you can start having real-life conversations in a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 150 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, not computers. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. Again, you can choose from Spanish, French, Italian, German. They have over 14 languages. And right now, you can get up to 55% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/TMT. That's BABBEL.com/TMT for up to 55% off your subscription. Babbel, it's language for life. Again, that's BABBEL.com/TMT. as in the morning toast, TMT, for 55% off your subscription. It's addictively fun, and there's never a bad time to learn a new language. Like, it's just like something that's good for you in your adult life.
Are you ready for our first story? It's so sexy. It's a little too Ooh. NSFW.
It's getting hot in here.
It's getting hot in here because People has announced their 2022 sexiest man alive, and it is Chris Evans. He says, quote, "My mom will be so happy." That's funny. If you were to tell a middle school age Chris Evans that he would one day be named People's Sexiest Man Alive, he'd be pumped. He said, "This would probably be the road to the cool table, which I was not at." How come you every celebrity was a loser growing up?
Okay, wait. Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah.
So it's so true. Like, every celebrity was like, "I was never cool. I had no friends." Yada yada.
Every celebrity like is the most gorgeous, like personable,
perfect looking,
like, you know, funny.
Okay, nobody liked him. But it's like obviously hard to believe when you see them now and like their pure perfection. I used to roll my eyes at them, but I feel like for actors, musicians, like, most of them were like theater kids. They were in choir. They were in band. They were in like traditionally, like back in our day, like traditionally uncool extracurriculars. And I actually think like the possibility that a lot of most celebrities were losers like in high school and middle school, like, is probably true.
Yeah, because they were working on their art.
No, and like now, and I'm so jealous of the kids who like are growing up now, like things to honestly, like shows like Glee and stuff, like those, like being in band and wanting to join the drama department, like, it's, there's not as much of a stigma as it used to be. But like back in my day, like, it was the worst thing you could do socially. Like, oh my God, band, I'd rather die.
Yeah. So I believe it. I mean, I believe it when people say it, of course, but it does make sense for actors who are in theater and musicians who are focusing on their instruments art. And their art. But let's talk about the models who are always like, "I was like so bullied. I was so tall and gorgeous."
Okay. Well, let's also talk about that.
Nobody wanted to be my friend.
I do think there's a certain sect of modeling where it's like not traditionally beautiful women. It's more like interesting looking women mm-hmm. who were like very tall. And I could see those girlies, you know, being losers and getting like bullied. I could see that.
Yes.
No, these perfect all American girlies, like, I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it.
Anyways, young Chris Evans would be happy to know that old Chris Evans is sexy as hell. He said, "My mom will be so happy. She's proud of everything I do, but this is something she can really brag about." He sat down for his interview and said, "This whole thing is tough to be interviewed about. It feels like a weird form of humble bragging. Really, this will just be a point of bullying from his close friends. It's ripe for harassment."
That's funny. Obviously, Chris Evans is extremely good looking. Like, it's not even a question. I do want to say I'm like a little uninspired by this choice. It's like so obvious, you know, that's like choosing me for most sexy woman. You know, it's like, duh. You know, I like when they get a little creative and do someone who's like a little ugly, but like still really hot. You know what I mean? Like, and if like there's no controversy around this, like everyone's like, yeah, okay, agreed. But like, remember when Blake Shelton was and everyone was like, the country was torn apart.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of lived for that. Like, be a little out there.
Who would you have liked to see?
Well, it also has to be someone, it's not just about looks. It also has to be someone who's been like really relevant this year.
Yeah, who has a movie coming out, who wants to sit down for this interview, not just like some recluse who would rather.
So it's like hard to choose. Oh, honestly, it really should be, just based on the year, Harry Styles.
Yeah, or Miles Teller.
It should be Miles Teller. But I do feel like they choose someone older usually. Like, Harry and Miles are a little young.
That's true, and I think that's nice.
Yeah, I mean, do they do that for the women? Yeah, it's like always like a woman, not
it's
a girl.
It's always Julia Roberts. No one has a chance.
It's always Julia Roberts.
And it's not sexiest woman, it's most beautiful, I think.
Right,
and I don't even know if they do. I don't think they do it anymore.
It's so problematic. Also, like, I do see a time, I feel like I say this every year, I'm like surprised that they still do it because it's so binary, you know?
Yeah,
really sexiest man.
I know, but it's like they canceled most beautiful woman, but not
sexiest man.
Like, what about us?
I don't know. Like, I feel like Maxim really has like the list for women, you know, maybe People was just like becoming irrelevant. Like, that list, people look forward to the Maxim Hot 100 and they really look forward to the Sexiest Man Alive. I don't think anybody really cared about most beautiful woman.
It's true. And also, this is so interesting. So they have their sexiest man alive. Then they 1 year did a sexiest woman alive in 2014. And it was Kate Upton.
Valid.
And then they have most beautiful people, not most beautiful woman.
Oh, okay.
So in last year, it was Helen Mirren.
She is stunning.
She is stunning.
She's stunning. I absolutely, I'm not sure why I'm laughing. She's stunning and I love her. It's just like a, just like a crazy choice, you know?
Yeah. And I just want you to know, for the record, Julia Roberts has won 5 times. So I'm not even
exaggerating. So it is always her.
Yeah. It's always her.
I mean, that smile, it really is beautiful.
It is. But I think the women, I mean, the women have plenty of lists, but then like people get mad about female lists.
Right.
But
like we're putting women on lists.
I love a list.
I love a list too, especially one that I'm on.
You would be my number one every day.
Yeah. I would be my number one too. You would be the number two.
Every year. But to me, again, not trying to be controversial, the sexiest man alive is Bryce.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't see it.
No, I definitely see Streis.
It should be the sexiest men alive. Rassenstrass.
Love, love, love.
We'll have to Magnolia Photoshop.
For most beautiful woman of the year.
We'll have to Photoshop that cover ourselves.
100%.
Make the SMA cover you wish to see in the world.
I just feel like, I feel like I have the same thoughts every year. But like the fact that Chris Evans, who's arguably like the biggest movie star in the world, is sitting down with People Magazine is like so crazy, because People Magazine is like a trash tabloid. And this one thing that they do is like a redeeming thing. And it's like they get like George Clooney, like who would never talk to People Magazine.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about George Clooney recently, about his like catalog of movies, because I feel like he's so serious. You know, when you think of like the most serious actors, most respected. But I feel like his movies are actually kind of like
Flapio.
Like Flopville, yeah, and like stupid.
Wait, let's talk for real about what movies that he's in.
Obviously the Oceans. The Oceans movies, which aren't like Oscar winning movies, but they're good blockbuster movies. And he's in this new one with Julia Roberts that looks so stupid, but it's
so stupid.
It's doing amazing at the box office. But I'm like, George Clooney does stupid movies.
Up in the Air with Anna Kendrick, All About the Miles.
I never saw that one, but that was based on a book, so it had to be good, right?
I never saw it.
And he was on ER, so he's like a soap actor.
It's actually a good call. Like, have we been gaslit into thinking that George Clooney is a serious actor?
Yeah, like, has he ever even been nominated for an Oscar?
Google if he's been nominated for an Oscar. But I think it's because I really loop him in with, like, Brad Pitt. And Brad Pitt has been nominated, won many Oscars. He produces, like, Brad Pitt is the definition of a serious actor. Benjamin Button, Moneyball. I mean, there's a million. Like, yeah.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Has George Clooney ever been nominated for an Oscar?
Yes, yes. Oh, he won Best Supporting Actor in 2006.
For
Syriana. He was nominated 6 other times, and then he also won with Best Picture in Argo.
Argo, but he was a producer.
Oh.
He wasn't in Argo.
Oh.
Well, sound off in the comments. Is George Clooney a serious actor?
He also received.
Or have we been gaslit into thinking as so?
Is he just LARPing as a serious actor?
He got a mall and like.
Yeah, yeah.
That made him like more serious.
He takes himself really seriously. By the way, but he also received the Golden Globe Cecil B. DeMille Award in 2015, which is a very serious award for serious actors.
Maybe there's like an era of his career that like I'm either not thinking of or not familiar with, but I'm now fully convinced George Clooney has been LARPing.
I thought it was an interesting thought I had, and I wanted to share it.
It's a thought that is definitely interesting. Sound off in the comments.
Great. Are you ready for our next story?
Yes.
A little hot new couple alert. Jackson White confirms he's dating his Tell Me Lies co-star, Grace Van Patten. So the two of them showed up to the CFDA Awards last night together. They held hands for a picture, and then he also shared on social media a picture of their photo booth strip, and he blocked out the third picture with an emoji, and they're clearly kissing in that picture.
Yeah, I feel like there's been speculation for a while. In my mind, it was confirmed, so this is great. They looked fabulous on that red carpet together. Like, they're both really, I don't know how long it'll last, but the show is really popular, and they're both like kind of like it girlies and boys right now.
Yeah, it's
they're
really,
also both Nepo babies.
It's unfortunate for me because the hatred that I have for their characters and their relationship is seeping over into this relationship. And like, I am not as excited about it as I would be if this was a beloved television relationship.
No, like, do you think that their relationship is really toxic?
No, I'm sure they're nothing like their characters, but like, that's how strongly I feel about the show.
You were really, really impacted by the show.
I really was. I have really strong feelings about it. I usually don't with fictional shows.
I can separate the two. Like, in real life, I'm like obsessed with these two. I think they're so good looking. They're both like very into fashion. They were very well dressed at the CFDA Awards. They've had like these iconic photo shoots since the show came out. Like, I can separate, but I totally respect that you can't. There's certain things I can't separate. Yeah. Honestly, the perfect example is like, okay, remember Bring It On, the one with Hayden Panettiere and Solange Knowles?
Of course.
And remember the actress who was Hayden Panettiere's friend at her other school and then became captain?
Winnie?
When Hayden left. That actress was so evil. I never saw her again in anything else, but I hate her to my core.
Yeah, but you didn't even see her again in something else. Like, maybe you have to see her outside of that character to see
no. if... Because I remember thinking, like, I remember being so deeply moved by my hatred for her. She was also, like, fucking racist. Like, she was evil. She was evil. And that's a hatred that I've carried with me throughout all the years. Like, she's too good of an actress.
Maybe that's why she never got another big part, because she was so typecast.
Because she was too good.
She was too good.
So I understand that is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but anyways, like, I'm happy for everyone who's obviously like living for this. I just, like, for some reason can't separate the art
on this from the artist
on this one.
No, that's a testament. That's a testament to their craft. In a way, you're complimenting them if you think about it like that.
And I'm complimenting the show because I can't remember the last time I cared so deeply about a fictional show.
No, it's so true.
So
make fictional shows great again. That's what they're doing at Tell Me Lies.
Literally. Are you ready for our next story?
I really, truly am.
Alanis Morissette bailed on the Carly Simon Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's a mouthful.
She bailed on the rock.
Carly Simon Rock and Roll. Rock and Roll. Roll and Hall next to each other. Roll Hall. Okay, wait.
Carly Simon. Wait, what is it?
Alanis Morissette bailed on Carly Simon Rock and Roll Hall of Fame tribute.
Alanis Morissette bailed on Rock and Roll Hall of Fame performance.
Okay, whatever.
I couldn't remember the rest of what you said.
Alanis axed her performance at the 37th Annual Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. I wonder if other people struggle with Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I don't think so. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's when you look at it. The singer was set to perform Carly Simon's You're So Vain along with Olivia Rodrigo, but she bowed out at the last minute after rehearsal on Friday, an insider told Page Six. The insider said when she ran through it the first time with Olivia, it seemed like they weren't prepared. Carly's guitarist, Jimmy Ryan, leaked that Alanis was performing last month in a since-deleted Facebook post, but the Hall of Fame never officially confirmed her as one of the reporters. Performers. Jeez.
Oh my God, are you okay?
Like, this story is just full of twists and turns. After Friday's rehearsal, organizers received notification that Alanis has chosen not to perform. She addressed the last-minute cancellation on her story. She said, in part, I've spent decades in an industry that is rife with an overarching anti-woman sentiment and have tolerated a lot of condescension and disrespectfulness, reduction, dismissiveness, contract breaching, unsupportiveness, exploitation and psychological violence, and more throughout my career. I tolerated it because nothing would stop me from connecting with those whom I care about and resonated with. I live to serve and connect with people, and so over the years, I sucked it up on more occasions than I can count in order to do so. It's hard not to be affected in any industry around the world, but Hollywood has been notorious for its disrespect of the feminine in all of us. She says, now I'm in a point in my life where there's no need for me to spend time in an environment that reduces women, such as this Hall of Fame performance.
It's a lot of words to tell us nothing about what happened.
She's got nothing but love for Carly, Olivia, Dolly Parton, Janet Jackson, Pat Benatar, Sheryl Crow, Pink, and Brandi Carlile, and Sarah Bareilles, all of whom are doing the tribute, but the environment was just, I guess, rife with too much anti-woman sentiment.
Okay, I totally agree that, like, I'm sure her career has been filled with tarch and, like, people disrespect. But, like, if you're going to make a whole statement, like, we need to know what happened.
Yeah. And there's so many other women who are performing. Like, are they just standing, like, they're putting up with the anti-woman sentiment?
Dolly Parton wouldn't put up with that.
Right. So I'm not saying I don't know at all what the fuck happened. I have no skin in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But like, if we're going to call them out, let's call them out all the way. What the fuck happened?
Oh, okay. So that actually reminded me. Are you following this Glennon Doyle podcast thing?
No. What's the tea?
It's a crazy story. Okay. You know, Glennon Doyle, who, by the way, is married to Abby Wambach, like, iconic soccer player. It's just like an iconic duo. They have a podcast and it's like super popular. I'm sure you've seen
it. And Glennon Doyle wrote the book Untamed, which is like one of the biggest books of the last ever 20 years. Yeah.
Okay, so they have a podcast together and they released an episode called like the podcast or the episode that never was. And basically they went on to say they just recorded like an interview with a guest, and the guest was so rude to like the producer and like the people that work for Glennon and Abby. And, you know, Glennon and Abby are going to stand by their team. They're not releasing the episode, and this person is banned from the podcast. It was this person and their husband. So now everyone's up in arms being like, who the fuck was it? And like Glennon, you know, she's a businesswoman. She's being all clickbaity, not saying who it is, but like trying to drop clues. And like so for a while, everybody had reason to believe it was Chip and Joe. But then Glennon, I believe on her Instagram, dispelled that. Now people are saying it's Mel Robbins. I have no idea who that is. Also, people are saying it could be Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos, because her husband, I believe was the husband was the one being rude.
Huh, why do they think it's them? I'm looking at who Mel Robbins is.
I don't know. I didn't listen. So then they released a whole episode just about, like, you know, kindness. And I guess there were some things in there that, like, dropped clues. And so people are using just, like, social media, people who are currently promoting things, people who promote things with their husbands. People are just, like, using context clues for guessing. There's really no definitive answer as to who it is, but like I'm so curious, and if anyone has a guess or like anybody knows, like just DM me. I won't tell anyone. I'm just curious. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, sort of.
But then it's like the same thing. It's like you're gonna tease. Well, just tell us.
Well, I mean, you did the same thing on Friday about the Amazon event.
I did, but that's because why did I do that?
I mean, if it were up to me and I experienced it, I wouldn't have even mentioned it, you know?
No, because I feel like, and this is what I believe Glennon was saying, like, you deserve to be called out if you're a rude person. Like,
but are you even calling someone out if you're not actually calling them out? And instead you're making, you're kind of like speculating and it's seeping into other people who most of them have nothing to do with this.
That's true. Like, then people start saying like, it's Remy Bader, and like, it's not.
Yeah, but people like, saying it's disparaging. Chip and Joe. And like for some people who never actually get the real answer, it's like in their head that was Chip and Joe.
No, that's a really good point. So what do I do about that now?
No, nothing to be done.
Okay. No, but, thank you for calling me out of my hypocrisy. Like, you're so right.
No, but I didn't mean to like call you out. I'm just like, what are the scruples? Like, what are
the... No, but I believe... What like, do the laws I agree say? With the sentiment.
What do that our bylaws people, say about this?
But there are just people who walk around this planet, like celebrities, influencers, who are just fucking rude. And like, it's like an insider secret. But it's like, you know what? You want to be rude? Own it. I'm going to tell everyone you're fucking rude.
Yeah.
But I didn't. You're right.
And you just like, you never know what someone on the... Like, what their story is, right. Where they're coming from. Like... No, you just right. never know.
But is that an excuse for bad behavior?
No, but like maybe if you had the whole picture, like it might not have been bad behavior. Do you know what I mean? Like maybe that's someone defending themselves. What, like maybe someone who has experienced an injustice.
Yeah, I mean, it's very nuanced. That's clearly the takeaway here. But like for me, I'm like a gossip monger. Like I want people to say the names. But you're right. I just did that.
Yeah. So.
So I think.
I don't know. It's complicated.
It's complicated for sure.
And that's how I feel about call out culture in general.
I know.
So.
I feel torn between, like, you really don't know, like, what someone's day has been thus far. And, like, maybe if they're, like, a little testy to you one time, like, and how were you acting? Were you acting like a beast going up to someone at a restaurant with their family being like, can I get a selfie? And they say no. Like, honestly, like, I think perception is a huge part of it. I think, like, you don't know what people are going through in that moment. I think that's a huge part of it, too. But also, sometimes someone's just an ass.
Of course.
And I think that we should talk about it.
Of course, but I think
and now
there's so many,
we've said it.
There are so many different things that, like, go into someone's recollection of a specific yes. exchange. And it's like they could quote verbatim, like you could be telling a story and say exactly what that person said to you. But depending on the tone in which you say mm-hmm. it, it means two completely different things. And you're tone so right. is not something that can be adequately recollected. It's subjective.
No, that's so well said.
Tone is more personal than comedy, more personal than food.
So true.
And then there's the issue of people's memories.
Yeah, well, you know, that's like a thing in law. Like eyewitnesses are more often than not like totally fucking wrong.
It's also like a thing in books they're always talking about how like memories are just like, I don't feel like this is true because I feel like I have a good memory.
No, my memories are perfect.
Yeah, especially when it just happened. Like, okay, sure, maybe from when I was six, I'm, you know, right. remembering it fondly. But like, what I'm not making shit up, like...
No, like I'm 100% right, always.
I know what I saw.
Right, I said what I said because
like
I saw what I saw.
It's kind of like a gaslighting tactic to tell us that like our memories are just false.
You're so right. The government is trying to gaslight us.
They're making us feel crazy.
100%. 100%. Even though like I feel like I learned that thing about eyewitnesses from my cousin Vinny.
Yeah, that they
like there was that eyewitness and she was fucking wrong.
And also 12 Angry Men.
I never saw it.
It's a book, too.
I never read it.
I think I read it. It was a good message.
But here's the thing. Imagine you're a deer. You're prancing along. You get a little thirsty. You spot a little brook. You put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water. And bam! A fucking bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a fuck what kind of pants a son of a bitch you shot you was wearing?
It's a great question.
It's a great question.
Are you ready for our next story?
Is it the story? Mm-mm. That's brought to you by ZipRecruiter, perchance?
Yes, it is.
Are you hiring? What type of role are you hiring for? Here at The Toast, we are always looking for different people to boost our business to work with us as a team. Maybe you need someone who wears many hats, and that can be challenging to hire for. Or you have a simple position to fill, but it is taking forever to find someone who's a great fit for your company. Whether you need to hire a civil engineer in New York, a pediatric nurse in Nebraska, an attorney in Colorado, even a mascot in Missouri, ZipRecruiter can help you find qualified candidates fast. And you can try ZipRecruiter for free right now when you go to ZipRecruiter.com/toast. From accountants to zoologists and everything in between, ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and presents them to you. Then you can invite your top choices to apply. It's so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. We have used ZipRecruiter in the past to hire for different roles, and it has been so seamless. It's really the best way to find quality candidates. And again, you can try it now for free at our exclusive link, which is ZipRecruiter.com/toast. Once again, that is ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com/toast. ZipRecruiter.com/TOAST. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Check it out. Whether you're a small business, a big business, you're looking for any certain type of role, ZipRecruiter is really the company to do that for you, and you won't regret it. ZipRecruiter.com/TOAST.
Great. Our next story, a little shadiness at the Powerball. The Powerball drawing for $1.9 billion jackpot has been delayed due to security protocol issues. The highly anticipated drawing for the record $1.9 billion Powerball jackpot was delayed Monday night, leaving people eagerly anticipating those winning numbers. Powerball officials released a statement early Tuesday morning saying one participating lottery is still processing its sales and play data, and all 48 participating lotteries are required to submit their data before the winning numbers can be drawn. The statement said that Powerball has stringent security requirements to protect the integrity of the game and remains committed to holding a drawing that gives all players a fair chance to win. So due to the delay, the results will likely not be known until this morning.
And they were released.
And any winners?
I believe so. I believe a winning ticket was drawn. I saw it this morning. Hang on. Let me just get
the facts.
For
the full 1.9?
Actually, I don't know.
Let me just do a fresh.
Oh, as NPR, as of 47 minutes ago, it's not clear yet if anyone won Monday's delayed $2 billion Powerball drawing. Okay. It's not clear yet.
I mean, I hope that if there's someone out there, they claim their prize. I think that this is a little shady. It's giving.
Agreed.
It's giving Agreed. McMillions.
It's shady. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. And if I had bought a ticket, I would demand. Well, if I bought a ticket and lost, I would demand a redo.
Did you watch McMillions?
Yes.
It's just reminding me of that. Like,
how so?
We should start looking into these Powerball winners. Could be someone with their thumb on the ball.
Oh, 100%. It's somebody's cousin. It's the person whose thumb is on the ball. It's their cousin.
Yeah, no, but then their cousin's neighbor, like, cashes the prize. And then they ruin that neighbor's life because the neighbor wins, obviously. But they have to give the money to the neighbor, their neighbor's cousin. And they barely get to keep some for themselves. They think their life has changed, but it hasn't. And then the feds come after them. And that's what happened with McMillions. And it was so fucking sad.
It was a sad documentary. In this case, I'm just, you know, I'm a little suspicious, you know. I feel like I've been alive for almost 30 years. I've lived through many lotteries and I've never heard of it being delayed. It's a little shady is all I'm saying. But that's the thing. It's like a security issue. Nobody respects cybersecurity anymore. It's every day I'm getting an email. Oh, our data, your password changed it. Like, excuse me?
Yeah.
Nobody's taking cybersecurity seriously.
And they shouldn't.
It's leaked and it's hacked and it's this and it's that. And all I know is I got to change my password for like really important shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like it. Not one bit.
But you are like, I mean, and me too. It's like, if you don't like these company cybersecurity protocols, like don't engage with the company. You can't
trust
them.
Well, then don't create a society in which I'm forced to engage with the company.
No, like,
I have to live.
I'm struggling with this too. I'm struggling.
Yeah, okay, like I could, you know, not use a Facebook, but it's like it's connected to my Instagram and how do I remember people's birthdays and if people use it for work? It's like, yeah, we live in a society where I don't have to be on Facebook legally, but literally I do.
Yeah. So.
And that's just a little bit about me.
Yeah, and the Powerball is questionable now and I feel like
the integrity is compromised. Yeah, nobody respects the Powerball. You know?
And now I'm going to be looking at this winner a little sideways, which might be completely unfair.
So true. No, if there's a winner this time, like I'm keeping an eye out for the winner.
For the Seliner.
Yeah, no, I'm suspicious for sure. Do you think if you work for Mega Millions or like any of these companies, like you're legally not allowed to buy tickets? Kind of how like if you're a blackjack dealer, you can't play blackjack in the state that you're licensed in, you know?
It's an interesting question.
I feel like if you work for like Powerball corporate, like you run the Powerball Instagram or something, like you can't buy tickets. I don't know why. I just feel like you wouldn't be allowed.
I just feel like because no one would take your win seriously and they'd come after
right.
you.
Right. We'd be so like, sure, Jan.
Is it worth it?
Right, right. You would do a two for a check.
Our fifth and final story, which is going to lead into a little TV recap. Olivia Culpo reflects on her breakup with Nick Jonas. She said, quote, "I thought we were going to get married." So
let me tell you how I forgot these two even dated. When I saw these headlines, like Olivia Culpo's reflecting on her breakup, I thought she was talking about Danny Amendola.
That's a different breakup. Last night, the new show, The Culpo Sisters, which is a reality show about Olivia Culpo and her Culpo sisters, premiered on TLC. We've talked about it a little bit. And there was some really good tea. And I have so many thoughts about the show in general, but we'll start with this one tidbit because Olivia was doing one of her interviews and she's talking about like why she moved to LA in the first place. And she was like, "Well, I moved with my boyfriend." And the interviewer's like, "Didn't you date a Jonas brother? Like, was it Nick?" And she was like, "Do we really have to talk about this?" And then she was like, "Yes, I dated Nick Jonas." And interesting tea was that he broke up with her. She like was really so in love with him. And when she came to LA with him, she had just won Miss Universe. She didn't have a job. And she moved into her own apartment after they broke up. She like really couldn't afford her rent. She said she had no sense of self, no job, like didn't know where she was going to go from here. Like she really thought like her and Nick were going to get married, as she said. And it was a big change for her. She said, I moved to LA with him. I had no brand, no money, and I was in love. That was great, right? But when he broke up with me, I was kind of left with no sense of identity. My whole identity was in him, which is a very common story of a young person in love. I thought we were going to get married. I thought all the things. And I just remember night after night looking up at my ceiling in my apartment that I couldn't afford, thinking to myself, how am I going to pay my rent?
No, by the way, like it, that is exactly how I remember it. Like her identity was very partially related to like her pageantry, but it was really like Nick Jonas's girlfriend. And I didn't really think about how like after they broke up, like where was she living? Like, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like I can sort of remember like the early days of her being in LA and then breaking up. And then she started posting on Instagram. I've been following her on Instagram like since I think I had an Instagram. And she really like built this brand. And what she does now, I think a lot of people do, being influencers, brand ambassadors, models, et cetera, multi-hyphenate. But at the time was not a job.
Yeah.
So it's not like she woke up and I think I'll be an influencer today. She just like really put all the pieces like, together and like
was influential.
Yeah. And knew what her strengths were. And now she has a wonderful career and this wonderful television show, which I would like to recap.
I didn't watch it. I feel like they're a great family for television. I'm just like so confused why it's on TLC, which is like the circus channel. Like it's like, you know, like crazy stories. The man with the 19 pound scrotum, 19 kids and counting. Like,
yeah. Even the commercials.
1,000 pound sisters.
This was not 1,000 pound sisters.
No, it's not.
Even the commercials like, when you're watching it are like,
it's Dr. Pimple shows. Popper.
Yeah, no, no, no. It's, they're definitely,
it's the Circus Network.
They're definitely a little out of place. I think one, like that's who wanted their show. Maybe TLC is trying to elevate their brand. And so maybe they made them the best offer. And the show was also streaming on Discovery Plus, which is a premium streamer. Like you're there with Chip that and Joe, Magnolia Network. And so that's where the show went. And luckily it's on YouTube TV. So I was able to add it to my library and enjoy. And I just want to say overall, the first episode, you know, there were highs and lows, but generally speaking, it was a breath of fresh air. And I want to explain why. Obviously, I'm an Olivia Culpo apologist, Stan. But following her on Instagram and watching her for an hour on television is a different experience. And I'm not sure that I always want to watch a reality show about someone that I follow on Instagram. So it's not a shoo-in at all. But what I loved about the show was that like there was this, just this like general, and maybe it was like coming off of having watched that documentary where I felt really sad. And I was like, I want to watch like more happy people and people who are enjoying life, even though obviously everyone has their struggles. Like watching this show, like they're so close as sisters. They're like real sisters because they love each other, but they also have their like beef. You know, the little one is very snitchy. Like, oh my God, I wanted Margot to watch it because some of the stuff Sophia was saying, I feel like Margot says to her friends about us, like how we just, she's trying to grow and we just always remember her as the baby and we like won't let her grow. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really cute. And it was just like, they really are a great family who love each other. They're so close with their parents. They're so close with each other. They have two other brothers who they're also really close with. When Sophia lives with Olivia, like her parents came to town for their 35th wedding anniversary. And Olivia's like, we're throwing them a party. And the whole time I thought it was going to be like a big party, but it was just all of them having dinner in her backyard, which is just so sweet. Like they really love each other so much and they have such a great relationship. And you can see how like Olivia having her sisters there and having such a great relationship with them, like she's so grounded in her career, even though she is like this huge star and her boyfriend is Christian McCaffrey. And like, you could think that she would be like one of these like LA girls who, you know, thinks that they're
obsessed with the fame,
like so affected, but no, she's just like balloon shopping with her sisters for her parents' anniversary. And like talking about how she really wants to be a mom and she's turning 30. And like, she, you know, when she was younger, would have thought that she would have husband and three kids by now, and that hasn't happened for her, but like she's so determined to do it. Like they really put such an emphasis on family. I feel like family, that's not something that we see a lot of anymore, and I think it's also a reason why the Kardashians are so successful.
Yeah,
a lot of people have tried to do that and put their families on TV, but it doesn't work for a number of reasons. You might be an uninteresting family. You might not have a good family dynamic. You guys might all be throwing each other under the bus for a lick of fame. And I didn't get any of those vibes from the Culpo sisters show. I thought it was just really positive and refreshing. There was some stupid like sublines, very Kardashians, you know, they're trying all these like wellness things, but there was also some tea. Like Aurora, the oldest sister, She's been married for 3 years. And I think right now she is going through a divorce. And on the show, I think it all unfolds on the show. She starts talking about how she's with her sisters. And she's like, someone DM'd me on Instagram and said that, do you know your husband's cheating on you? And she was like, what do you mean? And she spoke to her husband about it. But then she also revealed that when they did get married 3 years ago, she told her husband that he could have like one extramarital thing a year. So I don't know if he like went over his limit or maybe that actually just doesn't work for her. But she's like struggling in her marriage and being really open about it. And then in the preview for the rest of the season, like it really feels like they're sharing a lot. Like I think Olivia is starting to feel like she wants more commitment from Christian and she wants to have kids. And she has endometriosis. And I think that will, she said it makes it so that she has a different sort of window for when she's gonna, when she can have kids. She said, if I miss my window, like, I don't know if I would ever forgive myself. So I feel like things might come up with her and Christian. And then there are some sister fights that look like so fucking real between like her and Sophia. They definitely get under each other's skin, but they also live together. Like, hello.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's fights about clothes, which is the biggest probably fight that most sisters have. I think also Sophia's career is very similar to Olivia's. So I think there's tension there in the way, like I think Olivia sees Sophia doing things and she's like, that's not how I would do them. I think Sophia probably also feels like she's in her shadow and she wants something for herself. Yeah. It felt like there's a lot of realness coupled with reality show
reality
antics.
TV dumbness.
And I have to be honest, I kind of expected that it wouldn't be as great as I thought, as I would hope, because I love her so much. But I thought it was such a pleasure to watch and
fabulous.
It was really refreshing to see grounded, level-headed, happy people who love their family and who are enjoying their life. Like Olivia has this gorgeous house in LA and like every room is filled with people, dogs, food, love. Like it's a pleasure.
Yeah. It's a pleasure.
So I would recommend it because
good.
Not everything needs to be so sad.
So heavy.
Yeah. And they have their struggles and everybody does. And I'm not saying I don't want to see it or we shouldn't like, not at all, but there needs to be balance.
A balance. Yeah, yeah. No, that sounds nice.
So I felt balanced at the end of the day.
One thing about you is like you have balance, you know?
I strive for balance. I do. It's so important in all facets.
So that's our show. Thank you. That was a gorgeous TV recap. Really in-depth and stunning.
Thanks. Are you feeling like you want to check it out? Oh, and could they be more beautiful?
I'm just like not could taking anything new on.
Could they be more beautiful? The whole family. The girls.
No, they're really
the
stunning.
The brothers. The parents.
We got to set the brother up with Snitch. Do you think he'll convert?
No, I think they're
religious.
Yeah, Olivia was also talking about how like her religion is a big part of her relationship with Christian. And when they through hard times, like they pray together to get through it.
Oh, I thought it was so nice. That's the cutest thing. Mm-hmm. That's the cutest thing. In Love is Blind, like this one couple like prayed on each other and like it was actually really sweet. Even though like that's like not something I do. I like respected it.
Yeah, no, I respect it. I like just seeing the different ways that people go through hard times. Like they're even.
Well, Jax, I pray for you.
Thank you. McClard, I pray for
when
you
when I pray for you.
Nice.
That is our show. That is the greatest show on earth. Thank you guys so much for listening to The Toast, the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So it's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So if you listen to podcasts, find us, The Toast, and leave a five-star review about how wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing day, and we'll see you tomorrow for Hump Day.
Bye.